results of the National Assessment of Educational Progress, also known as the Nation's Report Card, came out yesterday and found that high school seniors are slipping in math skills and their reading scores are flat. According to the report, only about a third of high school seniors are ready for college-level math and reading courses.
That report also comes as high school graduation rates remain at a high level here in Wisconsin and around the nation. The Department of Public Instruction said today that the most recent graduation rate in Wisconsin is at 88.4%, well above the national average.
Morgan Polakoff joins us now. He's Associate Professor of Education at the University of Southern California, Rossier School of Education. Morgan, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks very much for having me.
And joining us now in the studio is Peter Goff, Assistant Professor of Education Policy at UW-Madison. Peter, thanks for coming up.
Thanks for having me, Veronica.
Well, Morgan, we're going to start with you. Why are these numbers so important that just came out yesterday from the so-called Nation's Report Card?
Well, the NAEP exam is really the only exam that gives us a good sense across the entire nation of aggregate trends in performance. And so every couple of years we get these results for 4th and 8th grade and for 12th grade, and they give us a sense of overall whether students are sort of headed in the right direction or not. I think that they show again that there's some challenges in terms of raising the performance at the high school level. But we've seen over the years that there's been a great deal of performance at the lower grades levels of 4 and 8. So I think it raises a lot of questions about, why we're not seeing success persisting to those higher grades. And taken in concert with the graduation rate data that you just mentioned that shows that graduation rates in most states are at or near all-time highs, it certainly raises some questions about how well prepared those graduating students will be for success in college and career.
What do we know about what it means to be prepared for success in college and career?
Well, that is a very broad question. I mean, I think that we know that certainly academic readiness of our students is not where it needs to be. We have evidence from NAEP of that, and we have evidence also from other assessments, such as the ACT and the SAT, that on average students, frankly, just don't do that well at the end of high school in terms of their knowledge. But of course, there are other things that play into readiness. I think most folks agree that knowledge, particularly as shown on these kind of assessments, is an important but relatively limited measure of readiness. So, in fact, we know things like non-cognitive habits of mind, perseverance, grit, those kinds of things clearly also matter for success. And frankly, at a more basic level, the ability to engage and interact with people, to be part of a team, those are kinds of things that are not well measured by national assessments, but that clearly matter for student success. So I think everyone would agree that these tests are one piece of a much larger puzzle of readiness.
I guess the big question that we're getting at with all of this is, what does it say when the graduation rate nationally is 81-82%, but these NAEP test results are something like 37-38? So what do you make of that in-between area? It seems as though there's a disparity there.
Well, there is certainly a disparity. I mean, one important thing to note is that the NAEP definition of proficiency is a very high definition of proficiency. So it's most people would say that most people who study this issue would say that the NAEP proficiency definition does not necessarily mean on grade level, that it really means a very high level of performance. So the fact that the number is 33% on NAEP or something like that versus a graduation rate of 88%, that doesn't necessarily mean that, 55% of people shouldn't be graduating high school. It certainly doesn't mean that.
So you're saying the 37 NAEP score is pretty high then? It's not as low as it sounds?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's pretty high either, but I am saying it's not as low as it sounds because the NAEP definition of proficiency is a high definition of proficiency. And so when you look at performance on state assessments, for instance, Wisconsin gives a state assessment, I don't happen to know what it's called, But every state gives an assessment under the Elementary and Secondary Education Act. The proficiency rates on those assessments tend to be somewhat higher, and it's not obvious that there is a, quote, right answer as to which proficiency definition is the right one. But, you know, we can sort of triangulate from NAEP, from the ACT. They have their own college readiness criteria, and the SAT does as well. And we can sort of triangulate and get an estimate of what proportion of students really are ready for success. And it's certainly, no one would say that all of the 88% of students who graduate high school are ready for success in college. We know that that's not true because large percents of those students need remediation when they get to college.
We're looking at levels of college readiness and high school graduation rates right now with Morgan Polakoff from the University of Southern California. Also with us in the studio, Peter Goff from UW-Madison, professor of education policy. And Peter, we're going to bring you in on this now. So let's look at Wisconsin. The Department of Public Instruction said that the 2015 high school graduation rate is 88.4% higher than the national average. So how do you take that news? Is it good?
Well, the graduation rate is a tricky bar, in part because it's manipulable by the schools themselves. Schools tend to be held accountable for graduation rates, so they can do things to move to graduate students without actually increasing achievement. That's not to say that's what's happening. I think Wisconsin has put a lot into place to help students graduate, and a lot of the gains that we see here we should be very proud of. For example, we have over the last several years, we have a new dropout system, the DUES system, dropout early warning, that's put systems into place to support students that are at risk so they can get the services and supports that they need. But one of the troubling things that I find about the graduation rates in Wisconsin is the achievement gap between black students and white students. And this is, from a policy standpoint, we tend to quibble about, you know, is this a significant difference or not? And the graduation rate is really astonishingly large. So that of that 88% you mentioned, white students have a graduation rate of 93%, and African-American students are at 66%. So they lag far, far behind. And that's not something that's new with this round of data. That's been consistent over the last several years.
And how does that particular number, that gap, compare nationally?
The gap is largest in Wisconsin. Wisconsin has the largest gaps by almost any measure. So if we're looking at the NAEP scores that Morgan was talking about earlier, we see the gaps in Wisconsin are large there in literacy, across grades, in mathematics, in graduation, by almost any measure. And even when we look into post-secondary, so of the students that are graduating, we see lower rates of college going and then lower rates of college completion as well.
And so looking at that achievement gap in Wisconsin, do you see any good news in these numbers, any sort of movement that would indicate the momentum one way or the other?
Possibly. We see some increase in the Hispanic students in Wisconsin, that they seem to be improving. But the gains don't seem to be making their way to the students, the lowest income students that need it the most.
You're a policy guy at UW-Madison. What sorts of tools are being tried here in Wisconsin to help to close the achievement gap in terms of yearly school performance and in that graduation rate?
So as I mentioned, the DUES system, the dropout warning system, is one of the strategies that's being tried. Unfortunately, with the achievement gap, as we look both in Wisconsin and nationally, there's no easy answers. There's not a silver bullet, something that we can easily point our finger at. And with education, the challenges are much broader than the institution itself, and we need to think about ways that looking beyond just education in terms of both housing, employment, the economic system as a whole within the state, integrating those seems to be the best strategy to reduce that, but those are really big challenges.
I want to ask both you and Morgan, are there any interventions that seem to be effective in terms of, say, for instance, spending per student? Is there any correlation between higher graduation rates and spending more per money per pupil?
Well, higher spending districts do have higher graduation rates, but that's primarily tied to socioeconomic status. These tend to be more affluent students in general. But that's not to say spending doesn't matter. We've seen drastic cuts in education spending in Wisconsin. The governor's voucher plan, for example, funds vouchers by pulling money out of the equalization aid that goes to schools that is supposed to that is intended to level the playing field. So I don't think between the cuts overall, the increase from the voucher program, I don't think we have anything in place, any help coming from the state that's going to remediate these sort of inequities.
And Morgan, same story nationally?
Yeah, so there's a good deal of recent research that suggests that court-ordered school finance reforms actually can have substantial positive impacts on student outcomes. I think that what I would say is that in general, with those kinds of reforms and actually with really any kind of policy, unless they're targeted at closing gaps or targeted at particular groups, then they're much likelier to sort of raise overall levels of performance than they are to help address those enormous gaps in access and outcomes that Peter mentioned, which hold not just in Wisconsin. I mean, he's right that they are largest in Wisconsin, but they hold nationally as well.
We're talking with Morgan Polakoff right now, Associate Professor of Education at the University of Southern California, Rossier School of Education. Also joining us in studio is Peter Goff, Assistant Professor of Education Policy at UW-Madison. And we're talking about the nation's report card, which says that only about a third of high school seniors are ready for college math and reading courses, even though the country's graduation rates are at a high level.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Our high school is setting a high enough standard, a high enough bar for high school students by the time they graduate. Do you feel like graduates are prepared for college-level courses or the workforce? Have you seen this as a student yourself, a parent, maybe as an employer? And what would it take to close the racial achievement gap here in Wisconsin schools? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Do you see those disparities in your own community? Call in 800-642-1234.
We're picking up our conversation now with Morgan Polakoff, Associate Professor of Education at the University of Southern California, Rossier School of Education. And Peter Goff is with us. He's an Assistant Professor of Education Policy at UW-Madison.
Looking at the new Nation's report card results, finding only about a third of high school seniors, they say, are ready for college. Meanwhile, Wisconsin, new numbers out, pretty good graduation rates, but as our guests point out, still a high racial disparity pretty much any way you measure it. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are kids coming out of high school ready for the workforce, for college? Were you, if you just graduated recently? And what would it take to close the racial achievement gap here in Wisconsin? Call 800-642-1234.
And we'll take our first caller now. We've got Julie on the line in Stevens Point. Julie, hi.
My comment has to do with your question, which was, are the kids ready once they get out of high school? And though our graduation rates are, you know, braced and everything, I have to say, no, I'm not seeing it. Not because they don't necessarily know the academics, but the work ethic just isn't there. I feel like the trend in education right now is letting the kids turn in work whenever they want, accepting, you know, retake after retake, and not for necessarily valid reasons, for traumatic events, just that, I didn't study, or I didn't get to it. And I think that's a huge, huge thing. I think our academics are there, but we're fluffing them because we're not holding these kids to these high standards.
Julie, thanks a lot for that call. And Peter, what do you say to that? I mean, it's in the school's interest to graduate students. It's in the students' interest to graduate. But when they emerge from high school, are they ready in college or for the workforce these days?
Well, I think there's been substantial challenges to getting students into college. There's been a huge push nationally to have students be college ready and for every student to have a college education, or at least the opportunity to have a college education. So when a student does drop out, their chances of then going on to college, even if they have the exact same skill set as a student who graduates, is far, far lower. So the fact that we can help students persevere to that level and then their chances of success later on increase, they may not be ready right off the bat. And as the caller mentioned, the I think there actually has been a focus of late. Morgan mentioned these sort of non-cognitive skills that folks have been pushing, the perseverance, grit, especially in the high need context, has been a huge component of post-secondary success for many students. So I do think that's an emphasis, but it could be a larger emphasis could be made nationally.
And Morgan, what is your take?
Well, I would echo what Peter just said. There is increased policy focus on these kinds of non-test-based outcomes, and the new reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which is called ESSA, gives states a lot more opportunity to think about and use different kinds of measures in their school evaluation systems. And I think that there's likely to be a number of states that take up these measures and really start to investigate more seriously the extent to which schools are preparing students, not just in terms of academics, but also in terms of these other outcomes that we know matter for student success.
Now, Peter, you used the word grit, and that's become a very hot term in education fields, this idea about perseverance being just as important as other qualities. Is there too much trendiness to that word? Is there data to back that up, that actually this does help students when they get out there?
Sure. There's. Is there too much trendiness to it? Yeah, absolutely. Anything that gets to the point where it becomes a fad tends to be a little bit overblown, and again, people turn to that as the silver bullet at the exclusion of other things. But at the end of the day, the fact that we're moving towards a more growth mindset, this idea that, you know, we're not telling kids that they're smart, we're rewarding their effort, and that's what we find across sectors, across genders, across race, that seems to make the difference between the kids that give up and shut down and the kids that keep pushing when the time gets tough, and that's how they acquire the skills as they move through the curriculum. So obviously, and I think the caller would agree with the statement that it's not to the exclusion of everything else. We don't want perseverance. We don't want to reward their effort at the expense of what they actually did with that effort, what they actually produced. But nonetheless, the evidence seems to be moving in a fairly compelling way to suggest that it's these non-cognitive skills that really push throughout success.
Let's get another call in now. We've got Tyler on the line in Eau Claire. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, yeah, so I'm starting my master's program soon, but when I transferred, you know, from the high school to college, I got D's on my first science exam because I just didn't know, you know, the level of curriculum, and it wasn't necessarily high school's fault at all. I had great teachers, but I kind of was able to coax through high school just fine, and I feel like that happens to a lot of students when they first enter college. They need to realize, you know, oh, this is a completely different level of education, and some students get distracted by, you know, certain things like partying and not having supervision from parents, and thus they kind of fall through the gaps.
Tyler, thanks a lot for those comments there. Tyler saying he was not prepared for the jump from high school to college. Some people have suggested something like a gap year, but is there some sort of agreed upon curriculum? The Common Core isn't exactly agreed upon anymore, but how do we know what does prepare kids for college? Peter?
Well, I think we've seen a change in the college system and what we think in terms of what is college ready and what colleges can do to help students get into college and stay in college. And that's something that has a strong push and appeal from an equity standpoint. We want to reduce those barriers. We don't want high school to be the sort of cutoff that says you can't go to college, you don't have this degree, as opposed to something that says, this, you know, we will facilitate this process. And we do see a huge increase in the amount of schools, universities offering remediation classes. And some people will criticize that, saying we should have been doing this in high school. But I think at the end of the day, what we're seeing is these are access points. Students that may not have had access to these classes in high school at the level of rigor that they need, but they can get access to it in the universities.
I want to leave it there. Morgan and Peter, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been speaking there with Morgan Polakoff, Associate Professor of Education at the University of Southern California in the Rossier School of Education. Also joining us there, Peter Goff, Assistant Professor of Education Policy at UW-Madison. And they joined us for a look at educational achievement for the nation's high school seniors.